This is an adult podcast made for adults by adults. Taking some chances today because it's our first podcast with four people recording. Adding one more person shouldn't be that big of a deal, but it does make people panic. So you'll have to bear with some mistakes that were made. Very fun podcast about a crazy ass adaptation of Death Note. Our two guests were amazing. They acted like sisters, because I guess they were. So please enjoy this episode after we listen to some posture.
Everybody, welcome to Fake Film Fans, a movie podcast for thoughtful degenerates. I'm Suede Bess, and I am an angel. An angel. I'm nervous. I'm nervous. We have four people on the podcast. I'm nervous.
I'm Walter, and I'm a two. I'm only able to give two energy today. I'm sick, and I also have been not using English for a week, so I realize I actually, like, my English isn't coming out properly in my mouth. I don't...
We're off to a great start.
Oh, this is going to be a good episode.
But yeah, we have two guests to carry me. I'm going to take a back seat with my two today. Actually, why don't you fucking introduce each other instead of introduce yourselves?
I like this idea.
I kind of like that. Yeah, you go first.
Okay, this is my sister, Erin, and she is Kanye West's worst nightmare.
That makes sense to me.
This is my sister, Jamie, and falls asleep to the documentary.
No, cut that out. Cut that out. I don't want that public.
We'll bleep it.
Please bleep that. Please bleep that out.
Wait, I'll redo it.
Bleep it.
This is my sister, Jamie.
I'm so confused, though. Why is it the?
No, not Christian. Donna! Walter.
I'll do another intro. I got scared. I didn't know what to say. This is my sister, Jamie, and she... I don't know. There's nothing interesting for me to say about her. So that's it.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, that's right. We have Jamie back on the podcast from our fantastic Twilight episode. And Jamie has brought her kid sister, her pint-sized sidekick of sorts, Aaron.
You guys are like super far apart in age, right?
5 years, yeah. It's not too bad. I'm 19.
So why did your parents stop having sex for so long? Why did they decide to have sex in two long intervals?
What the fuck, Walter? What the fuck, Walter? Come on. Why you gotta put that in my head first thing?
Well, I already saw it once, so, you know, we're not gonna cut that out.
Your parents having sex?
I saw it once when I was a kid. Oh, this? Did I ever tell you this?
Yes, I did. You've told me a number of times because you find it extremely funny.
I do find it very funny.
You just know that our mother is going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's why I immediately, like, my stomach dropped after I said, I just fucking Hiroshima'd myself there, basically. So, you know what? We're off to a good start.
No. Look, mothers should be allowed to have sex. We're a sex-positive podcast, and if moms want to bang their husbands or wives...
I'm sex-negative.
I hate sex. Sex sucks.
Erin is still a student, and I actually, off the podcast, asked her to do some homework. Did you do your homework, Erin?
Kind of. So I found a few things. So Jamie, our good friend Suede, asked me to find a few quotes from your favorite fan fiction as the one that Suede wrote.
I knew this was going to happen.
And he asked me to find the birthing scene. I could not find it. Every chapter is like a little one-shot, so it's really hard to kind of tell. You might want to brush up on your grammar too, but whatever.
Yeah, I'll brush up on
it. Yeah, this is in chapter... I don't know what chapter this is. I just screenshotted it. I have a couple quotes. Let's see. I have, I think, three. So this is from the main character, Kiyoshi, who Suede found on a name generator to reference the Twilight episode. A wave of nausea sweep over me. And a horrible pain exploded from somewhere inside of me. And I instantly crumpled to the ground. It felt like that day all over again. The hand reaching through me, the pain, and my desperate glance at Gaara. Blood.
Sweet. Is that like an orgasm?
I don't know. I was drinking a lot of NyQuil at the time of writing this, probably. So I don't exactly... What do you think? Do you think... I mean, you're a professor now.
Yeah. Totally. Well, I think that honestly, like historically, and in a lot of literature, there's the line between the little death as orgasm like this line between pain and pleasure. And there's like orders of nuns who compare ascending to heaven to orgasm.
We talked about this recently.
Yeah, that was the snack I'm going to bring to the movie theaters. A nun having an orgasm and then seeing
nungasm. God. Oh,
nungasm.
Right. Oh, that's where I got that from.
Oh,
I listened to the podcast. I'm a big
nungasm.
Wait, I'm so confused. confused, though. Can we clarify something a little bit? Because I think some of the listeners might be confused like me. Is this fan fiction different from the last one we brought? Or is
no, it's
the
exactly
one?
The same. This is the same fan fiction.
I wanted to talk about it again.
I have another one.
Yeah, hit us with one more. Hit us with one more.
I had never seen Gaara so mad before. Usually, he was just Mr. Emo and didn't show many emotions around people. But this is a real shocker. And you expect me to live without you? You selfish brat, I said icily. He pulled me in for another kiss, but this time it wasn't passionate. It was more of a you are mine and don't forget it kind of kiss. I started to wind my hands up his neck, and he pulled away as soon as my hands touched his skin. Thought that was a good quote. Thought that was a good change in tone.
I agree. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
Writing.
Really, really good stuff. High quality.
I mean, it's pretty nuanced, Suede, because I think it's pretty amazing that you are so young and already debating the differences between passion.
Yes, like, that's right.
Not easy for me to understand, even today. That's why I fucking sometimes make a mistake and think I'm in love with my tutor, because I don't understand passion very
what?
Well. You know what I mean?
Walter was asking me about the ethics.
All I was saying is, like, someone touches you on your head and then you think, oh, I love them, but then actually it's because they're your babysitter, and as a kid you don't know how to differentiate that.
I get that. I feel very similarly about Gaara.
I don't think as an adult you know how to differentiate that, honestly. Like, it's so easy to get confused where it's just like, oh, do I actually like this person, or did they just like touch my scalp really good?
So I've been traveling, right? And in China, they don't do too many of the machine securities. They have like people who touch you instead.
Oh, okay.
Oh no.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Guys and girls can touch you guys, but for the girls, only the girls can. It's been so long since I've had physical touch because I've only been trapped in my little room. When the girl was like touching my whole body. She went for my belt. She went for my socks. She went for my arms, my shoulders, my armpits. I had a bit of a tingly feeling. Not a horny feeling, but like, you know, the sort of tingly feeling you feel when someone whispers in your ear.
No, yeah. When I get a massage and the lady like works on my ass cheeks, I'm always like, well, that's new. That's a feeling I've not felt for a long time. It's always super weird.
Yeah, getting your ass massaged is extremely weird. Especially if someone's like digging their fucking elbow into your ass cheek.
Oh, no, I love
it. I don't
it.
Have much experience with this. TBH.
Massages or the tingly feeling?
No. Ass massages specifically. Those are another kind of massage that I don't. Maybe I'm a lame-o. Maybe I'm an ass version.
When you're getting a regular full body massage, they'll massage your ass.
Yeah, you're getting fucking ripped off, Aaron.
I gotta go back and I gotta sue them now because, you know, I haven't been getting full ass massage. It's not working. This is stupid. This is mal ass practice. I'll leave this podcast right now.
We're malpracticing? I thought the massage people are.
No, they are. Why would we be malpracticing for having too hard of an ass? If you're clenching, then sure, that's malpractice. But I wouldn't say that you just going in there is malpractice. No, they're the ones malpracticing.
Sometimes I want to ask people questions about clenching their butt. Because you do it in a lot of different times for a lot of different reasons, right?
Yes, you do. Varied reasons.
Like when you're stressed. And you clench your asshole because you're like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die.
Yes.
I've never done that.
I don't
that.
Think I do that.
I do it when I realize that I'm able to do it.
What does that mean?
This is what a liberal arts education gets you.
So it's like when an airplane's about to take off and it like kind of tests out the wing flaps. It's like that.
Only with your asshole.
Yeah, with your asshole. That's exactly. Is this not like true? I think this is true. It's just testing your motor functions.
It's like blinking.
Yes.
It's like blinking.
Because when you notice the blinking, you stop being able to blink properly.
It leaves the motor function.
I think that blinking is different than clenching your ass because it's like a full moment of autonomy when you're just standing there and you realize, like, I can clench my ass right now. Listeners, everyone at home, I want you to clench your asses right now. I'm just feeling
I mean, I've been doing it the whole time we've been
well,
talking.
See, you're testing the waters too, so.
Well, but like, once you realize you can do it, then you can do it, which it makes sense. But then blinking is like when you start breathing. Then,
yeah,
like,
let's do it together.
All right, where'd you go?
So before we really start, let's actually hold hands right now with our listeners,
close our eyes,
and all clench our asses
together.
Okay,
I'm closing my eyes. I'm clenching my ass. This is great.
And then I'll count from 10 to 0, and everyone will clench their asses in between the intervals of the
okay.
numbers. Listen to my voice and clench.
Is that 10, what?
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, clench. Three, clench. Two, clench. One.
Oh my god, I'm dying.
Clench. That's pretty good.
That's the warm up for the rest.
I enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't.
This is the podcast.
Yep, this is what I call a great. Great podcasting right here. Honestly, if it doesn't get 1 billion views, then I'm suing Spotify and Apple Music and Steve Jobs and Joe Rogan.
Do you think you can get your mom to share the podcast?
No. I don't think that her friends would like it very much if I were to be honest with you. Sorry, my mom's friends.
Wait, before we move on from the clenching ass thing, in our version, it's like breathing and winking, as you said. But in Sway's version, clenching ass is like blowing. Because you blow to make your soup cold. You blow to make it your soup hot. That's the famous Aesop fable. But you also blow to move something. And you also blow to annoy a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the Aesop's fable.
I think blowing and clenching asses is actually super similar.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that makes total sense.
For that.
Can you do me a favor, Walt? And can you say everything you just said exactly the same one more time?
Wait, am I actually... See, I can't tell right now because I'm on a fucking 2. Am I making less sense than usual?
Oh, yes.
No, Walter, you never make sense.
That's why he said than usual. Okay, he obviously never makes sense, but this is just more so.
You guys with your blank faces are really, really intense right now.
I think we should each ask a question about the statement Walter just made. I'm going to ask a question, and then I want Jamie to ask a question, and then I want Aaron to ask a question. Okay, so my first question is, how does blowing on soup make it hotter?
Okay, when you have cold hands and you need to warm them up, you blow on them. So you use that technique onto the soup that is too cold.
That actually makes perfect sense because you can blow on the soup and it becomes hotter just like your hand.
And that it legit is fucking Aesop fable.
Well, that was actually going to be my question, is which Aesop's fable has to do with blowing on soup making it hotter?
Okay, there's this guy who lives with a satyr.
Satyr.
There's this human being who lives with a satyr. And the satyr watches the guy blow his hands with warm air in the cold and then watches the guy blow his soup to cool it down. And the satyr freaks the fuck out and is like, I'm not gonna live with you anymore, you fucking weirdo. How can you use your air to do the two things at the same time? And then the ending of the moral of the story is people don't understand inconsistencies.
What?
Sorry. What?
No, that makes perfect sense because when you blow on your hand.
What does that mean? I am very confused. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, Aaron, it's simple because when you blow on your hands, it makes them warm, but the soup cold.
But Walter said the soup was getting hotter.
They're actually proving Aesop, right? Because Aesop thinks that people don't understand inconsistencies. Apparently, the McCaffrey family is part of the Satyr family.
We are not.
They don't understand the inconsistencies. We are not. Either.
We got to see your feet, see if they're good.
Yeah, dude, I can whip out my dogs right now.
You know what? I will comply because I'm nice.
No,
you know,
child.
I'm a considerate
when someone
person.
Asks you to let see their feet on the internet. Do not let them see your feet.
No, you're not supposed to do that, Aaron. Come on now. You're not
fine.
Supposed to have the dogs out on the
what,
podcast.
What, the grippers?
Okay?
You don't want the grippers out?
No, put the grippers back. Dude.
Okay, so I do have one more question, Walt. What does any of that? See, you've infected me. What does any of that have to do with me clenching my asshole from anxiety?
Because you said you clench your asshole for different reasons.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Can I recap for 1 second? I just want to make sure I'm understanding this. So you are saying the point that you're trying to prove is that one function can do multiple things.
No, I'm just trying to say clenching the ass is the same as blowing. That was all my point was. That
he's
clenching
the
ass is the same as blowing.
Because when you blow on soup, it gets hotter.
Yin and
or
yang.
Colder.
That was my only point.
Yes, of course. Sorry. Okay, I
Jamie,
get it
now. You literal dummy. You don't even understand them.
Yeah, it was starting to make sense for a second, and then I lost it again. But I think I understand it. But I don't want to try too hard.
I'm just kind of here as an observation. I don't know what the hell's going on.
No, it's simple. Walter just wants to say that when you blow on soup, it gets hot or cold, just like when you clench your asshole because you're anxious. That's the same to him. And that makes perfect sense.
Okay, that's all I
if
wanted to
think
say.
About oh it, God. Your brain, guys. It's the same, guys. What's wrong?
A lot's wrong. But I'm not going to say what it is.
Have you seen those videos of the people breaking chopsticks with their butt cheeks?
No.
They learn how to clench their butt to break the chopsticks. The wooden
chopsticks? No.
Yeah, I've
never
seen people do it.
Never what? Seen it. I want to do it. I want that to be me.
You want the chopsticks to be you, or you want the person doing it to be you?
Oh, that's arguable, because I think that I would want to be the left butt cheek.
I do not want to get broken in half by someone's clenched ass. I'm good.
I would love to be someone's captain's quarters, but only on the pretense that I get to break in half a chopstick. Besides that, that's it. No, I don't want to be a butt. This is so dumb. This is so stupid.
Jamie, do you feel like these are conversations you normally have with your sister? Or do you think, not unlike sort of a strange figure, like a psychopomp or like a Janus figure, we've opened new doors between you and your sister's communication? And maybe after this episode of the podcast, you and your sister will feel closer.
I'm going to answer this question with an example.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
No, you don't.
I don't?
Okay, say it.
No, you go first.
No, fuck you. Guess.
Oh, no. You go. Say it.
No. You guess, and then we will all judge you if you guess wrong.
All right, that sounds good.
Yes.
Is it the fruit by the foot thing? Is that what you were going to talk about?
Oh, my God, it is. It is. You got it.
Wow. You guys are, like, related right. or something.
Jamie, we're judging you
dude,
now.
Come on. You thought I couldn't get it.
So, no, this is sort of a paradigmatic example of how me and Aaron process the world together. This was probably a year or two ago. We got really obsessed with the old fruit by the foot commercials. Aaron, could you just do the commercial, actually?
Oh, I know the entire thing. I replaced your fingers with fruit by the foot. I replaced your bones with fruit by the foot. Well. I replaced your guitar strings with fruit by the foot. I replaced your DNA by fruit by the foot. Fruit by the foot. I don't know the slogan. That's the commercial. Where they're replacing things about themselves with fruit by the foot. Whether that be their fingers or bones or guitar strings, which is a step backwards, but all right. Or their fucking DNA structure. Jamie and I had an entire conversation about how the DNA replacement works. I have an entire theory that's documented on my phone about what the functions of that universe are, because you watch the commercials and you notice a bunch of discrepancies, such as like how things are replaced. But you also look at the setting of the commercial and it's in like a white room with like white furniture and you're like, what the fuck? Like, why are these two like kids in like striped shirts here?
We got very into trying to figure out the metaphysics and ontology of the fruit by the foot commercials.
Can we hear an example?
The issue is the DNA replacement. Are your chromosomes and your DNA being replaced with fruit by the foot? Is the DNA being replaced with fruit by the foot then so that your whole body is now coded to be fruit by the foot? Or is it that, like, the very material of your body is changed into fruit by the foot?
This is also Charlie and the Chocolate Factory type of stuff, too, right?
Definitely.
Like, Mike TV gets really small, and then he, like, gets really big, and you're like, wouldn't his DNA be all messed
up? Or Augustus Gloop.
If the hypothesis is that we still have a human DNA molecular structure, but it creates a fruit by the fruit body, once that happens, when that's able to be changed, you would actually have way more control of manipulating your DNA to become anything you want.
Why?
Because right now we're unable to become fruit by the fruit loop because the world is preventing our DNA from changing. But if our DNA has changed once, we'll be able to change it infinite amount because we will have unlocked that one change. So we'll be able to do it in other different ways.
So in theory, if I want to go based off the laws of the universe as established in the fruit by the foot commercial, it's uncertain because the verbal command of I replaced your blank with fruit by the foot, right? We could assume that that's some sort of like magical metaphysical incantation. But who's to say that that doesn't work with other things? I don't think that it would. I think it would only be fruit by the foot in this commercial, otherwise they'd be doing other things. I'm not sure. There's a lot of debate to be had about this.
Can we manipulate our DNA today?
Yeah, if you clench your asshole hard enough.
We're back to this, guys.
Yeah, if you clench your asshole hard enough.
The listeners are going to love this.
If you clench it hard enough, you'll transform.
That's how Danny Phantom goes ghost.
You know he clenches his asshole when he turns into a ghost. You know it.
Think about it. There was a great big flash. Everything just changed. His molecules got all rearranged. That's him clenching his ass.
That's because he clenched his ass. It's actually the only reason why.
No, that's how he activates. It's not that he says the words going ghost. It's that he clenches his ass really hard.
Oh, I think his powers are all asshole-based.
He just threw balls and go through walls, just like the theme song.
But that doesn't mean that Danny Phantom's DNA has changed.
I mean, literally,
yes, it does.
On the TV
it
show.
Is in the fucking introduction.
Oh, I didn't watch the show.
It says it gets rearranged.
No, well, they say his molecules got all rearranged.
But you see the ghosts ghosts go into his DNA. No, you see the ghosts go into the DNA spirals. As
it shows it. It's green. Yeah, and then it, exactly.
He gets ghost DNA. Danny Phantom could be Ryuk in a fight.
No.
Ryuk doesn't fight.
When you say fight, do you mean like Ryuk like death noting him?
Danny Phantom could definitely beat William Dafoe's Ryuk.
You didn't like William Dafoe's? By the way, for anyone who's not following, we watched the American version of Death Note for today's episode.
The Netflix original, 2017.
It was my third time watching it when Jamie and I watched it a couple days ago. When we finished the movie, I looked at Jamie and I was like, Jamie, I fucking love this movie. It just, everything about it is so good. I was like, I don't want to admit this, but it's great. I just enjoy it so much. I had such a good time watching it all three times. I think it's absolutely hysterical. Everything about it is dumb, and I think it's really funny, and I think it's a great movie. Sometimes it does things right, and that was kind of interesting to me.
So I think that one of the best things that this movie did is pacing. There was never a dull moment. There was always some just dumb bullshit going on. And I was so entertained.
What is wrong with you, Jamie?
Oh, I swayed. I agree
well,
with
I
her.
I don't mean like it's paced well from an artistic perspective. It's from a perspective of this movie. It's an hour and 40 minutes long, and it felt like fucking 20 minutes to watch this movie.
It was a slog. I'm sorry. I normally try to be positive on the show, but I really liked every time someone died. But like, there were so many sections where I was just like, I can't.
Give an example?
Anytime Light and his terrible girlfriend Mia are talking, I wanted to turn the TV show.
Okay, that's understandable. She was really annoying. No one likes Mia.
So was he.
But he's annoying in a funny way. She's annoying in an I hate you way. He was annoying in like, wow, look at this dumbass like acting on screen doing stupid things. And then she's just like a bitch.
Did you guys watch DComs growing up? Disney comedy TV programs like Sky High or whatever? I've always been frustrated with these Disney comedies, these D-comedies. They just like make my skin crawl. And I think one of my issues with this movie was that it felt like a super hyper brutal version. You know, I'm talking a lot of smack, but there are a lot of moments where I was like, oh, that was fucking great. So I don't know why I'm
this
on my
is
heart
what we are saying. For example, the scene where Elle is first introduced when it's the nightclub, they got like the cool, like weird 80s music going, and then it shows Elle. He's like kneeling and he says a bunch of shit in Japanese, and you're like, I don't know what the well. And then he like walks out, and it has this like really interesting shot of like the alleyway next to the nightclub, and it like zooms out of the girl getting arrested, and then it like spirals back, and then it's the limo, and Elle like walks out into the limo and it goes away, and Jamie and I were like, yo, that went really fucking hard.
Yeah, I remember that scene. That was a very
that was a
scene.
Really cool moment. And Jamie also asked me why he was wearing a mask, and I don't have an answer to that
Wait,
question.
Why? He's hiding his face.
Yeah, so that Kira can't see his face.
I think there was different context to that, Aaron.
Yeah, they say that.
Really?
Like,
they do? Because he never wears it again after that.
Because L doesn't know what the Death Note is, right? His theory is that, oh, Kira just sees people's faces and then can kill them. He doesn't know that Light doesn't have the Shinigami eyes to see, which the movie doesn't really have. The Shinigami eyes!
Yeah, the movie ignores so many key, like, strategic parts of the Death Note that are revealed in the anime and in the manga. I think in this movie, it's unintelligible.
No, what do you mean, Jamie? Why is it unintelligible?
Because, so, okay, Death Note at its core is supposed to be fucking about deduction.
Yeah.
Light has the rules. He's trying to figure out how, like, the extent to which he can use and manipulate these rules. And L is trying to figure out what these rules are without knowing them. And that's, like, I see as the core deduction-based game that they play. And so that's what's interesting. Light's trying to figure out, okay, what can I do? And then L is trying to figure out, well, what are the limits of what he can do since I don't know? And that conflict is non-existent in this movie.
Yeah, because L in this film isn't a deducting person. He's just told he's gifted and he walks around and does weird stuff. But he doesn't actually, like, make a deduction.
He makes a few deductions.
He went to detective school and graduated at 6 years old, so of course he's gifted.
I just really struggled with, I was very frustrated with Light as a character. I just could not get behind him, and every time he was on screen, I was mildly annoyed. Whereas I really liked L. Every time L was on screen, I was really enjoying it. Because there's no reason why Light does any of this stuff. He just, like, decides to start killing people because of this sort of vague concept of justice, and I guess because he was bullied. And also because this girl that he totally wants to have sex with is like, we should kill more people. It annoyed me every time Light was on screen.
So Jamie and I talked about this too. They're fucking and kissing to, like, writing names in the Death Note. There's the scene in the movie where they're like, oh baby, let's put this in the Death Note. And they're, like, scrolling through, like, fucking, I don't know, like, pedophile forums or something while they're fucking. I thought that was pretty weird.
I mean, I've done weirder stuff in the bedroom.
Really? I guess you've done weird stuff in the bedroom then.
Yeah. I mean, like, people get off to weird things. And this is, I think, the other thing that made me frustrated. I get frustrated when I watch movies that have good ingredients but don't engage me. And I think this movie had a lot of really good ingredients and it failed to give me what I wanted. If there was a scene of Light getting a nasty, sloppy blowjob while he was, like, writing people's names in the book, I would have been like, fuck yes, give me more of this movie. But it's like too namby-pamby Netflix.
So I think that you're totally fucking right. If this was more like Light's just straight up a weirdo, I think that if he was getting some sloppy toppy while writing some names down, that would be iconic as fuck. That would be awesome. But Suede, I think that they're still really committed to the source material where they need to write this movie that happens so quickly, but they're not smart enough to adapt the sort of logical deduction element of the anime and the manga, but they want this character to appear smart. So they're like, what would a smart person look like? And I feel like they try to approximate that without actually understanding why Death Note works the way it does. And so you get this sort of bullshit, like, simulacra of the OG, and you're just like, this is so dumb. This is just like high schoolers that have no fucking motivation to do any of this. And it's not even about power. Even if it was like him getting a beej while writing names down, like, that's about fucking power. That's, like, awesome. With this, it's just like, I love my GF, and my GF sometimes tells me to write names down, and, like, she seems like she's getting off on it.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely a death pervert.
Yes, but I also think that Light is kind of painted to be, I'm not gonna kill people. I'm not psychotic at all. I think the only reason why he's killing people is because of her. Because I think in the book, I know he's insane.
The anime makes him very insane compared to the manga.
Yeah, he's super logical in the manga. He's very straightforward. He's smart.
But Light in the movie is just not like that. It's a little underwhelming. Because there's too much basis in the girlfriend, and the girlfriend's a bitch. So I can understand why Suede is, like, kind of annoyed in this way, because I agree with that. I wish it was more about Light, because Light is too much of a hashtag pussy to even do anything else in the movie. You know what? Maybe this is about women empowerment. I don't know. I don't like the way they, like, kind of make Light just a backseat to this absolutely unlikable character, aka his girlfriend.
This movie was fucking peanut brittle. I really did like when all those brains went everywhere. It satisfied me in a very dark way.
This movie's extremely gory.
They show the body hitting the ground when the guy jumps off of the building, which they never do in movies.
Awesome. They rarely do that.
Also, I like the music. Jamie said, she's like, oh, it sounds like Stranger Things. And I was like, well, you know what? I still think it was good.
That's true. This movie is way more like Stranger Things, Riverdale, that type of crap than the Disney stuff you're talking about, Suede. That's why I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, what the
feels
fuck are you talking
Riverdale,
about?
Feels very Riverdale, Walter. That's a really good comparison. The way their dialogue is very similar to Riverdale, where it's, like, annoying, but also kind of charming in a way.
So I was in my living room watching this, and my mom came home, and she just sits down. Elle is, like, hanging from the, or Light is hanging from the, that's the other thing. Why are the characters named Light and Elle? That's fucking horse shit. It's too hard. Now I sound like Walter, but it's too hard. Light is, like, hanging from the dang old, the Ferris wheel. And my mom comes in and she sits down and she's like, what's going on in this movie? And I, like, kept trying to explain it to her. And I just could not. She'd be like, wait, so he has a magic book? But then, like, why is his girlfriend dead? And then, like, this other guy's writing the book? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And she's like, and Willem Dafoe's in this movie? I don't think you can explain this movie to someone. I think they really do need to watch it.
So let me just ask for clarification. Who has seen what? Like, have you seen the anime, the manga, read the manga, or just this fucking movie.
I've read the manga and I've definitely watched some of the series enough that I know both of the theme songs.
Like, dude, Jamie and I were listening to the second opening and we were both screaming to it in the car. That one.
I read the manga a very long time ago. I watched the anime again semi-recently.
Yeah, Jamie was a big fan as a kid. Jamie made our mom read it.
Was this before or after you caught your mom having sex?
Oh my god!
Did you make her read
after? We're not bringing this up again! No!
Aaron, you fucking brought this
no,
up, dude.
No.
Yes, you did.
I think Suede brought it up and then I was like, no! Well.
Are you? Sorry. Suede brought up you walking in on your parents? Are you fucking kidding me?
I was there the whole time! In the shadows! Your parents make love!
We'll have to listen to this one in post, buddy.
Yeah, so when you're proven wrong, you'll look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and
so.
I'm willing to take that L.
Alright, so. Can we talk about fucking Death Note? Can we stop talking about our parents having coitus? Can we please stop?
So Jamie, you like Death Note. That's weird to me because I usually think you have good taste.
I can't fucking believe that Sweet just shat on that manga like that.
Yeah, he did drop a bomb.
I mean, do you like Death Note? Well, I have never read Death Note. I think it is a stupid comic. Oh, okay, so I've read at least two volumes of the manga.
Me, actually. You know, I haven't read it, nor have I. I've watched the first episode.
I take umbrage with the entire premise of Death Note, so I don't really give a shit about the comics.
I think that Death Note does intrigue really well. So firstly, I really love when you take one very simple conceptual premise and kind of spin it out to its ultimate conclusion. So after L dies, Death Note is like, okay, it just kind of blows up. But before that, when it's the main kind of almost character conflict between Light and L, I think it's fantastic. And I think it's just super weird, heady, and all these like mind games, 40 chess type of bullshit. I find that very fun.
I also think, Suede, you are completely dismissing the moment of Death Note and how different and special it was when it first came out. Today, people talk about anime and manga like, oh my god, it's becoming mainstream, guys. Everyone watches Naruto and fucking goddamn Hero no Academia or whatever that thing is called. Death Note existed at a height of popularity even before we considered anime and manga as normal.
Yes,
everyone
completely
liked
true.
Death Note.
I didn't.
It doesn't matter. You don't fucking matter in this conversation. Like, Death Note is actually so much more fucking important than your feelings about
this. Let me just present my issues, because I think that my issue with Death Note is a narrative one, which is that no one in their right mind can read a manga from Light's perspective and root for him at all.
That's completely
false.
That's
so stupid.
I was thinking about it recently because I had a discussion about Death Note with my friends who were in sixth grade, and we were talking about, are you L or are you Light? And I had a friend who was like, oh, I'm Light. Right now, this L is ostracized from all my friends because he's decided to become a policeman. But I was thinking, shit, he already revealed that he had a Light mentality ever since sixth grade. Honestly, I don't even hate Light in the manga. Light is so much cooler than the fucking Light in this movie. I even loved Light
sucks.
Way more after watching this film. Like, I actually was like, wow, I actually like Light again. People can like Light.
I just can't.
I completely agree.
If we are talking about relatability, I do think this film does justify Light's decision more than the manga's.
No.
Like, if you're a horny teenage
boy. You should have seen Jamie's face when Walter said that.
okay, right, his justification at the beginning of the manga, it's like a kind of a classic tragic hero arc where he thinks he's doing good and he's very set on being moral and defining his own morality through his actions. But then as it goes on, as he's antagonized by L, as people are coming after him, he starts using the Death Note for other things, and then it's like he really does believe that he is like the god of this world, and that's what drives him to think that he's like worthy of this quote power that the Death Note has given him. So he gradually turns quote evil over time, whereas in the movie his motivation is just, okay, he found this book.
It's a sky book.
Yeah, the sky book comes down from the sky, then he shows it to this girl that literally they don't even fucking know each other's names until they talk about the goddamn Death Note. And then they try it, and then it's just something that they need to do because it's what happened in the original. I really think there's no justification, so I would love to hear why you believe this, Walter.
But Suede's problem with the acceptance of Light as a character is not Light's ascent, a descent to godhood. It's the initial part of, I'm going to pick up this Death Note and not freak out about it. I'm going to try to be justice. Because Sui doesn't believe someone will want to be that type of judge executor. And I think it makes more sense in the movie because his judge execution is so based off Horny.
Horny and his mom. I mean, the first person he murders is to get revenge for dead mom.
So in the manga, his decision to be judge executioner is his talk with Ryuk and kind of just getting inspired to become that. In some ways, I would understand why that would make you more hesitant to buy into why Light would end up picking up a Death Note and not freak out. But the manga justifies it by saying Light is very under control and he's very smart and he's very rational. So even though he does freak out, he's able to take those emotions and channel them into a sort of judge executioner understanding of the world.
But I think the thing that frustrates me with the concept of the Death Note is that L is an adult who's logical. He should understand morality is not black and white. Like, there's no way for him to be doing the thing that he's doing.
And he's not an adult. He's a teenager.
He's not an adult. It's been a minute since I've read it. Okay, but look at Naruto, right?
We always talk about Naruto.
So fucking Naruto is trying to deal with Zabuza. And he's like so mad because fucking his boy Sasuke has just gotten his ass handed to him by Haku. And he's like decking all this shit. But at the end of the day, he sees that Zabuza like cares about Haku. And there's like a multifaceted nature to this character. And in Death Note,
but Naruto had Sasuke, dude. This is why I feel so frustrated with your lack of understanding of it. Because your lack of understanding is actually like you're not trying to give Death Note its fucking space. Naruto has Sasuke.
You're probably right.
Light has
You're right.
Light is that fucking edgelord. Light literally is not that fucking different from the school shooter at schools that we all judge as like terrible people. Except Light had a Death Note, so he gets to choose who he gets to kill.
We're not supposed to root for the school shooter, though. We're not supposed to root for the school shooter.
You're not supposed to root for Light either.
Yeah.
Right? Like, after a certain point, you know he's shitty.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood the comic as a child.
So, people out there definitely like school shooters, especially teenagers with that sort of Columbine shooting fandom. People who root for Light root for him despite an obvious attempt to make Light a bad character. Otherwise, Light would never descend to his godhood where everyone recognizes Light is terrible.
Same exact issue with Griffith and Berserk.
I
don't think it's that Light doesn't understand or L doesn't understand morality. I think that honestly, viewers a lot of the time can't fucking track a character that you start out, they're conventionally attractive and smart and you're supposed to like them and be on their side because they're moral and interesting, can fucking turn horrible and turn into the villain over time very clearly.
Walter Hartwell White.
Wait, what are you talking about? Hashtag Griffiths did nothing wrong.
Are you kidding me? Hashtag Griffiths did nothing wrong.
What the fuck are you talking about?
But you would hate Griffith if this Berserk story was about Griffith and not about Guts. And Guts was just this annoying fucker who just came and ruined Griffith's plans.
Yes, I actually know. Walter, you said it in one. Because we don't get a strong juxtaposing position of understanding of morality from the central character, I remember being frustrated as a child, being like, this guy's wrong. Why am I reading a comic about a guy who's wrong? I want to say something else, which is, this is probably just me being me. Griffith sucks hardcore, but he has an agenda and an idea. You know the other thing that's cool about Griffith is that he has a sweet sword and he does sweet sword moveset. You want to know what L does? He just writes people's names in a goddamn book. Like, that's not cool.
He makes some really cool deductions.
I think that his attributes are pretty cool. And he has cool emo hair. So they're both cool.
Am I too much of like a gay himbo man? Like, this is too much for me. I can't with Light. Am I just like part of the wrong end of the community?
I'm going to go on a soft
Suede, I think that you want to be him. I think that your ideal version of yourself is fucking Light Yagami. Or excuse me, Light Turner.
Are you kidding me?
Light Turner.
No, dude, I would hate to have that level of responsibility.
No, not the Death Note. Not the Death Note. Like pre-Death Note Light, I think is your like Chad version of yourself that you want to be. Where it's like
I want L. I want to be chewing on that candy with my weird sitting position.
Don't you want to be like a cool, like, simultaneous nerd jock that's really hot without trying?
I literally am.
Okay, so there you go. You're proving my fucking point, Suede.
You just keep saying truths about me.
Okay, yeah. Cool nerd jock. All the girls want to date you, but none of them are good enough for you, and you don't give a fuck about any of them because you're just better, right?
That's like, literally who I am. You're literally just describing me. We'll be right back.
favorite scene in the movie is definitely the entire chase sequence towards the end of the movie.
Oh my god, it's so
Jamie can attest to this. I was uncontrollably cackling the entire chase scene.
Aaron was like in tears.
Everything about that scene is just so funny and brilliant. Just the way it's shot is like they do takes like every 5 seconds and just shows him running around, and like it shows L's like weird ass running where he's like and oh my god, it's so fucking funny. And it shows L drive his stupid police car into the drive safe sign. Honestly, went really hard. I thought it went harder than anything in the movie.
I will say, one of the things I enjoyed about this movie was Lakeith Stanfield's performance. He's pretty awesome. I've seen him in a few things now, and I've really enjoyed him. He was my favorite part.
I completely agree, and I can tie this into a larger point. I think that every single part of this movie was done with like love and joy and fun.
That's what I said. They fucking had a great time.
Yeah, you can tell they're sitting in that coffee shop in Seattle. There's all the fake rain and the neon signs, and he's like sitting on this chair like a little fucking gargoyle, and they're just having such a good time filming this scene. I just like feel the
they're love. Having such a good time that they show them having a good time in the credits, because the credits is a blooper reel.
So I have a lot of compliments for this movie, but the one thing I'm frustrated with, and it's completely related to what you guys just said, if there is loving in this film, what are they loving? Are they loving Death Note? Or are they just loving this?
They're not loving Death Note.
That's my issue. I don't get why the fuck they needed to adapt Death Note. Because they could have had a really similar plot without Death Note or William Dafoe in this film.
William Dafoe.
That's not fucking Ryuk. And also, if you wanted a Death Note in it, you didn't have to remake it. You could have just been like, we're doing a spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. Make Death Note 3 or something.
What were they loving? That's what I want to know. Like, okay, you didn't love Death Note. What the fuck were you loving? Were you loving your own weird idea of Death Note? What the fuck were they loving?
They were just having a good time.
This is my thought. I think there was an exec who came to these guys and was like, hey, Netflix wants a new live action anime movie. And the guys were like, all right, fuck it, fine. They decided to put all the love they could into this bad movie. And so like the special effects people loved it. Willem Dafoe loved his performance. Lakeith Stanfield loved being L.
But they didn't watch Death Note then. Like, none of them actually grew up with Death Note.
Well, I think Lakeith Stanfield likes Death Note. I would like to imagine that he was a fan of Death Note. Because he really kicked ass in this movie. When he's, like, getting ready at the end, when he finally finds a piece of the Death Note paper, and he's, like, contemplating writing Light's name in it, I'm like, yes. Yes.
Oh my god.
That's the final scene of the movie, isn't it, Suede?
Yeah. Yeah.
I started to talk about this when we watched it, because we were like, what the fuck was the point of that? First of all, why did it show L looking at the photo, the horrible selfie of Light and his awful girlfriend? It just shows him looking at that, and then it shows him writing. We were like, why is he not writing his name in the Death Note?
Let me tie these two points together. So I think the people that wrote this didn't actually understand the moral conflict that they were trying to go for. And then when they got to like the last third of the movie, they tried to shoehorn in this thing where L suddenly cares about morality and doesn't want to kill people, which is a fact that they only bring up one time in the movie. And then at the end, I think the conflict is supposed to be, well, does he break his own moral code and kill Light to enact justice? But it just doesn't track, because it's not anything that's been built up over the course of the movie. It's just
yeah, that's why I don't think Lakeith fucking read Death Note, dude.
I agree. I think that they heard about it. They like read the wiki and they're like, this sounds cool. And then they're
like, that's what the Death Note does. Yeah, they read the fandom page.
The fact that they change both Light and L's morality makes me feel like they even think they understand Death Note better than Death Note understands itself. There's an arrogance, too, that fucking pisses me off. I love the special effects, but dude, I read it as arrogance. We can talk about, is this a good adaption and all this stuff? But that's not the question I'm interested in, because it's something else. There's something about it that just ticks me off. I'm better than the adaption.
From someone who has watched the first episode of Death Note, and has not read Death Note, I still don't think the movie was a good adaptation of Death Note. However, I think you can kind of treat it as its own thing, because it's so radically different than the actual Death Note. just the difference between the main characters is just so obvious to me. I don't even think they're trying to like mimic the original characters.
You're calling this arrogance. I want to call it ambition, where I think that the original Death
Note... It's hubris is what you're saying, Jamie.
It is hubris. So here's what I think.
I don't know the word hubris.
It is like a Greek tragedy kind of deal where
it's
you
like pride
are...
before the fall.
Yeah. So I think that the original Death Note is super ambitious in what it's trying to portray, right? Like the moral conflicts, the scale of things, the way that it's like super quote, you know, fucking intellectual bullshit, you know. But then the movie is trying to do that and have that same level of ambition, firstly while being a movie and not being a fucking TV show or a manga, but it also doesn't understand the accomplishments of the ambition of the original. So I think that because the movie is so overly ambitious or hubristic, as Suede said, I think it succeeds in being extremely campy because it's trying to portray so much and it fails at every turn. But everyone's having
that's
a great
what I'm
time.
Saying. This is why I love the movie. And that's how I separate it from the original. Like,
you
I don't
keep
think
talking
it's...
about the original as if you've seen the original.
No, I love
but
it.
You keep saying, so I haven't seen the original, but here's how I've seen it. You can't do
I
that.
I watched the first episode, so you won't fuck you.
All right, you're qualified. Fuck you.
Well, admittedly, I read Death Note in like fifth grade.
I think, Jamie, you're the only qualified one here.
No, I still want to push back on this because I get camp and I do like camp and appreciate camp. I do like the campy things in this film, but there's also something about the not campy in this film for me. I think usually campy implies a failed attempt, and you sort of respect that at least it tried or attempted something. Where do you see in this film that they were trying to be there? Because I just, like, can't even see the attempt. That's why I call it arrogance. Because I see a, like, dismissal. I don't see the attempt. I only see the negation. Here's my example. The woman that we're all annoyed with, fucking Maya Goff. Is that her name? I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of Misa.
Why would you want to replace Misa in Death Note? I get it. Because Misa is, according to a lot of people, a very annoying character. Everyone hates Misa. You're like, everyone thinks she's an annoying character. I'm going to replace it. I'm better than that. But then you like pick something that's so off base of Misa. I feel like that's arrogant. That's like, I'm dismissing this character completely because it has nothing to do with my quality of work. And therefore, I introduce my own.
I don't think it's arrogance because you're saying like, oh, you know, they're trying to... Why can't they just do something completely different than the original Death Note? But then they're like kind of trying to change it a little bit by making Mia slash Misa, I guess, more close with L as opposed to like kind of separate like in the manga.
No. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of context missing here that you guys are both not talking about. And that is there are multiple Death Notes in Death Note. It's not that Misa and Light share one Death Note. From the beginning, it's that Misa has a second Death Note, and it produces a whole bunch of problems. I think that it is good that Misa is annoying. She's supposed to be fucking annoying. Light finds her super annoying. But in this, I think Suede is completely on the money, that the executives were like, they need a love interest. We need this to be a fucking romance, because there was a lady in the first one. So I think that that's what is going on. That's it.
And also, they just wanted having one Death Note because two Death Notes would have made everything really annoying. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Now, Jamie and Aaron, I think you're missing out on some context. And this is some Walter context that I, as someone who have fed him from my breast, know about Walter. Well, am I right? Is this like the vegan sushi?
A little bit.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. I think it's like a whitewashing-y kind of thing, right?
I'm not gonna like get mad at the whitewashing more because I'm not critiquing adaptions in general. This is just very specific for this film only. I really don't know why you want to give it the same name. Could have had the same camp, could have had the same ambitions, could have kept everything the same. Yeah, just give it a different fucking name. Call it something else instead of pretending
so
it's like...
So this is vegan sushi then?
Yeah. Don't call it vegan sushi! Call it avocado and rice, god damn it. You're right, it is like vegan sushi.
Well, let's get into it. Fucking vegan sushi. It's not sushi, right?
What's vegan sushi?
Well, isn't the crab meat fake in original sushi, like California rolls? Or am I insane?
It is fake, but I don't know how much California rolls comes from original sushi.
No, it's
probably not by that much.
That's why they're called California rolls.
No, I think that's valid. I think especially if you care about something, right? Like, so I don't like live action adaptations of manga just because I like the manga in such a pure form. If someone made a live action version of Hajime no Ippo, there's no way it could be as good as the comic. And I would be like so fr- I mean, Walt's making a face now. I think it would be easier to adapt Hajime no Ippo than it would be Death Note. To be fair, but
I'm making a face because I don't think this movie even tried to be an adaptation. That's my point.
It's not.
That's my face. My face is like, if you're just comparing this to other adaptions, I think it's missing my point. My point is less about, oh, I think it's a bad adaptation. Oh, I wish they didn't adapt my source material. Oh my God, my source material is the best. No, I just like legit don't even think these writers came together to like try to do anything.
Walter, I think what you're saying is interesting. The line between an adaptation and a slap in the face is kind of what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Or is it a cash grab? Like, what do you think this thing
is? No, I'm saying even if this film's goal was not to be an adaptation, I feel like this film doesn't love Death Note at all. And I don't believe anyone who participated in this movie actually loved Death Note at all. I call it arrogance, but the reason why it bugs me is because sometimes it almost feels like even detest. Tell me what they love.
I think they had fun being in the movie.
That's what I think the love is.
That's like pretty cool to me in a way. I think they had fun being in the movie, but some people were not having fun in the movie. I think some people were just being arrogant.
Yeah, the director, they were just like, fuck it, we're here to make some Netflix money.
There were a lot of decisions that were probably not up to their control. Okay, well, we want it to be set in America because it's being released primarily to Americans, so we'll put it in Seattle. Already, that's stupid. Just from there, right? Okay, well, we need a female love interest for this character, and we need this, this, and this to happen, and we need a bunch of action. So, like, that already makes it impossible for it to be anywhere like the original. But I do think that in each sort of individual element of the movie, there was so much love. The music and the cinematography and the acting and everything.
So one of the original directors of this movie, Shane Black, when he found out that they were going to change Light's background, going from Justice to Vengeance, he said he wouldn't direct the movie and it didn't get it. They had to put it away. So it wasn't until you
That's
had
brilliant.
Judas Iscariot of Netflix filmmaking, our podcast enemy, I think I would call him, Adam Wingard, who took over and made this Death Note movie what it was.
So I think this is our main disagreement. I think there is some detest that seeps into this whole film while you guys want to blame corporations completely. If I buy into it, let me reframe my question so it's a little smarter then. If this movie is aimed for the American audience, why do Americans want their characters? We're not talking about us right now. We're talking about like the mainstream American audience right now.
Yeah, those normies,
Why do they want their characters to become double-dimensioned like that? And why is vengeance suddenly more important than justice? Like, do Americans hate justice or something?
Yes.
Our system quite literally shows that. No, I'm joking.
No, you're right. I mean,
I think executives like relatable characters. They're like, what makes something good? Oh, it's that it's relatable. Okay, so let's put in this thing where his mom died and his justice is done through vengeance, not through this sort of internal character.
I was going to say they need like kind of a vessel to understand the character. Kind of like what like we were talking about before where Swade's like, well, when I was a kid, I didn't like him. Like, what's the point of me watching it if I don't even like the main character?
Swade, you're the fucking problem. Right. You're the reason why this movie came out.
No. I think there's something you guys are missing. This movie came out in 2017. What happened in 2016?
What, COVID?
No, Donald Trump was elected president.
COVID in 2016?
There's no way to make this movie about justice and not have Light try to kill the president. Our American system is like so fucked and everyone watching this knows it. We all know about Andrew Jackson and him murdering all the Native Americans. We all know about Thomas Jefferson and his slave wife that he like raped. There's no way you're going to watch this movie about justice and not be like, well, he needs to tear down the whole American system. You have to make it about vengeance and this like fake lofty understanding of justice.
Swade, that's brilliant. You're totally on it there. And yeah, setting it in America makes it completely impossible for that to happen because I think part of the conflict that they play on in the manga, at least, is that Light really isn't doing systemic justice. He thinks he's doing systemic change, whatever, but he's just killing prisoners and making himself into God. And he thinks that that's doing good for the world. Whereas here, it would be like, look, here are people who are endorsing corruption and who are, you know, speaking on TV about certain shit and who are actively leaders of insurrection. Kill them, things instantly improve in a way that's really easy to understand. So that's really smart.
It's a really nuanced way of thinking about the movie. I did not think we would be getting to this level.
Because Light's justice is not restorative justice. In the movie, it's like literally the opposite. And every time he kills someone, they go to the worst crime. Everyone wants to murder your local pedophile, right? And like, I get that. That's fair. But like, does it get to the issue of like why coaches can like molest 17-year-old girls? Like, how does that happen? I think if you made this movie in the 2000s, it would have been fantastic. But I think we're too far ahead to have it be successful.
If we want a relatable main character.
Are you saying that if this movie came out in the 2000s, would the reception of it be good? Or would the movie be better?
Oh, yeah. Because if you look at, like, 2000 movies' concept of justice...
Batman Begins, was that 2001, wasn't that?
Yeah. Justice is way more clean-cut because we are maybe trending in a better... I don't know if we're not trending. We have bad guys in the early 2000s. For better or for worse, you have a bunch of people thinking, like, man, there are people out to hurt our country. Like, post 9/11, like, we have a concept of justice. Get the people who attacked America is, like,
a dominant narrative. Kill fucking Osama bin Laden. Done.
Who's right and who's wrong has become too complicated by 2017.
Even, like, trending differences in superhero movies where the main ethical dilemma of whatever fucking stupid Marvel movie that was, where he does the snap, the purple man, and then half the world go away. That's kind of the main ethical core. It's not about villains. It's about like, oh, utilitarianism. Like, what if we kill half the people to save the other half? And that already is taking things on a more detached systemic level than saying like, we have to kill the Penguin to make Gotham better. I think they're both shallow.
That's interesting that you say that. When that movie came out, that was 2018, I believe, that was a huge deal because of that reason. People liked that change, I think, which I found really
interesting.
Which
Watchmen did in the fucking 80s, I think.
But this isn't like the most highest grossing movie ever, dude. So you know what? You should really just be a Marvel fan. What's wrong with you? You don't even like Marvel?
Sorry.
What are you, lame-o?
I like Marvel now. You convinced me.
All right, name five albums.
My favorite Marvel movie is the one with Robert Downey Jr., right, Walter?
Yeah, fucking trash-ass fucking taste.
I like that movie. Yeah, I don't know how you guys don't like Marvel. I thought you guys like movies.
This is related to the Marvel stuff. The thing with the justice conversation, I'm almost less fascinated with it now because this movie fell into the same trap of trying to do justice a conversation and then failed. But this relatability thing is like honestly shocking to me. I sort of understand having relatable characters as being more mainstream, but when did this happen? Has America always been like this? Like, you always want your heroes to be relatable? Because I actually, when Jamie said that, it like clicked in my mind that I don't think a lot of countries view that they want their heroes to always be relatable.
Hollywood movies do.
Do they? Is fucking Godfather relatable?
I think you're comparing apples and oranges, because what we're talking about is a superhero film.
How is Iron Man relatable?
It's not that he's relatable, it's someone that you can look up to. He is a hero.
I think he can be argued as relatable because of the way like these people talk to each other in these movies. There's kind of these like attempts at witty banter. Superheroes from, I don't know, the 1960s, 70s, they probably wouldn't say that. Now, do I know anything about this stuff? No.
Well, but they don't. I mean, if you watched Adam West's Batman or you watched the old Hulk TV show, I mean, that's much later, but still the dialogue is completely different. No, you get to this thing where the superheroes are, they're regular people who just happen to have superpowers. I think Light is a very, in the manga and the anime, is hard to relate to because he is basically a god. He is what peak male performance looks
to
like.
Go off of what you're saying, I actually want to make like a similar point about tragedy and how tragedy's changed over time. Whereas like tragedy for many years used to just be the moment where the tragic thing happened, and then you as the audience have to do the imaginative act of filling in, like, what are these people thinking? How are they affected by this? How did they get to this point? You know, you think of the tragedy of Oedipus, it's basically just his son finds out that he fucked his mom and killed his dad, and then they kill each other and kill themselves, and that's the end. But now tragedy is spoon-fed to you. Here's the thought process. Here's the ramifications. We want the whole picture because we're not doing the imaginative work as viewers. And now with this shit, it's like, okay, well, everything has to be relatable in order for the viewer to feel like they have a way in without doing anything imaginative or doing the work of relating to something. So I think it creates a more mindless but then seamless relationship.
You think executives understand this?
Yeah, of course. That's what they're paid to understand.
Oh, I apologize.
I don't think they understand fucking tragedy, but, you know.
I never realized how spoon-fed I am with relatability, because a lot of times when a character is relatable to you, you're just like, oh, fuck, what a great character study.
Yeah.
You don't even notice it. That's actually really terrifying, because that's making me kind of think back on all the characters I like. And I'm like, oh... Ew, I don't like this.
I know, there's a bunch of characters that I have to stop loving.
No, you don't have to stop loving them. I think if you realize why you like them, if you're willing to admit that you like them because they're like you and they present a vision of the world, I think that that's completely fine. But I think if you don't do the reflective work of understanding why you like something, which, let's be real, most fucking people do not do this, right? If you talk to people about why they like things, they can't articulate these
things. No, they're all very
dumb. I think
dumb.
That then... You're fucked. This is relatable, and I love CW.
I mean, I do love fucking CW. And so does Walter. He
do you
loves...
find Flash relatable?
Yeah, because I also run very fast. And I have a superpower. And I get to kiss Iris West on the cheek and say, oh, I love you. And she says, I love you, Cicerone. And I love it. We're in love.
I really am jealous of your life, dude. Anyways, do you think Death Note the film really did well in making L and Light better as relatable characters?
Fuck no!
I don't think they were terrible.
They tried to and failed.
Part of what's so great about the character of Light in the original is that he's not relatable, and that he becomes less and less and less relatable, where he's just like this super genius little fucking perfect kid. And it's very easy to hate him because of that.
So they really tried hard to make him relatable, but Light is too intense.
They tried to make him relatable as a high school student.
They tried to make her the less relatable one, and they tried to make him more relatable, and it didn't work in either way, because why would you blindly go along with your dumb girlfriend? I don't know. I think that dynamic was very obvious and kind of really annoying.
What does every edgelord teenager want? It's an edgelord GF, bro. That's
exactly
it.
That's like when they kiss in the pouring rain. That was like so sexy.
Why does she also only smoke one cigarette in the entire film and then stop smoking?
Yeah, they didn't commit to the fucking smoker shit in this movie.
I wish Elle was like smoking. I want Elle smoking a big cigar.
I found Elle pretty relatable, because when his homie dies, he's got like one friend, and then he gets killed by Light. I mean, I was like, fuck yeah. I thought Elle was very relatable. He just wanted to keep his best friend safe.
So you got baited. You got spoon-fed the bait, because that fucking pissed the shit out of me.
It was awful.
It's such a weird change that was like, I think what happens in the manga is stupid, so we're gonna do this instead. And then you were like, oh shit, that was more relatable because of it. And now I've realized that the fucking executives of Netflix are actually smart.
They knew. They know how to bait. Dude, are you kidding me? Why do you think I fucking cry when at movies? It's because I get baited.
There aren't any Death Note Funko Pops, because I would spend my money on them.
Yes, can we get a American adaptation Death Note Funko Pop, please?
Are there Death Note Funko Pops?
Yes, of
course. And they're absolutely...
They have Funko Pops of the Prime Minister.
I have a Funko Pop. I have one Funko Pop hanging from my rearview mirror.
I gave it to her.
Which Funko Pop is hiding behind your car, Jamie?
Guess.
Is it Plato?
It's not a philosopher.
It's not your favorite Nazi Heidegger?
It's not my favorite Nazi Martin Heidegger, no.
Is it Bella?
No, what will I be remembered for when I die, Suede?
It's Naruto.
No.
Gaara.
No, it's not.
It's Gaara?
It's not.
Boss Baby.
It's Boss Baby. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, of course it's Boss Baby.
And I gifted it to her. I ordered it on eBay for like $20, and it's like this big. And it's hanging on her rear view mirror with like a rubber band. Whenever she drives, it goes like... Jamie and I once did a whole experiment. What was it? How many trucks could $17 million... worth of Funko Pops fill, and it was like 12 trucks or something.
Yes, it was. If you bought $17 million worth of Funko Pops, how many 18-wheel trucks could that fill so then they could deliver them to your house? And we did all the math.
It was like 12 trucks, because you had to do the math of like how big trucks are and like what kind of truck.
I would not want to have the Death Note, but I'm curious to know what kind of Death Notes you guys would want to have. I already know what kind of Death Note I would want.
What do you mean, what kind?
Okay, so I'll explain. So if I was going to have a Death Note, I would want it to be the brown note. And any person's name who I wrote in would shit their pants.
Oh, I see.
Like, I would just be like, you're going to shit your pants at this time, at this moment, in this way.
But what if you try to clench your asshole?
Aaron, that's what we call a callback. It's fantastic. Genius level podcasting.
Can we get some applause, please? Yeah.
Would it be like a little, like kind of like a pressurized, like pressure washer? Like,
just you know? Shoot out of you. I feel like it's like the regular Death Note where you could just like kind of write anything in there and they just have to do it, right?
So you can like die. You can like die of shitting like little bunny pellets, or you can die of like explosive diarrhea.
No, you don't die. You just shit yourself. Wait, Swain. Okay, are the rules exactly the same? Hold on, sorry. Cry. So okay, if the rules are exactly the same as the Death Note, then that means you can control the person for the 2 days before they shit their pants.
Yes, you could. Just like the regular Death.
That is such a good power.
You just couldn't kill them. At the end of it, they would shit their
pants. It's just, you could be like, you write your name in blood on the wall and blah, blah, blah. You do all this crazy shit. And then it just culminates with you shitting yourself.
Yeah, except it would be, awesome. they would be writing it with shit on the wall.
Wait a minute. Okay. But Suede, would you have the Shinigami instead of the Shinigami?
That's so good.
Who would it be?
Yeah. He would be played by John.
No, Candy. I thought William Dafoe would play
he
him.
He would look probably kind of like me.
But would he be like brown version?
No, he would just be always
poop version.
No, he would always be like, you know, like when you really have to shit and you're like kind of hopping up and down a little bit, trying to hold it, got that like pre-shit wiggle going on. He would always be doing that.
The truffle shuffle. Oh, wait, no, that's post shit. That's post shit. I want a Death Note that like makes people tell the truth, but only for like one thing.
The truth note.
Truth note. What would you do with it?
Oh, I don't know what I would do with it. That's a really good question. Jamie, I would make you do something.
I would make Jamie shit herself, definitely.
Thanks, Sage.
How would you make her shit herself? How would you brown note her?
I would wait till Jamie was in like a very like powerful moment up in front of the classroom, but also was kind of sensual moment where she was at once an erotic teacher and an intelligent teacher. And then right at that moment, it would just be like completely baked beans.
Dude, come on. I thought we were friends.
The sad note. We're like, you write like Jamie will like literally break down in tears in front of her class in 2 days, and I'm gonna control her until then.
I have mine. Mine would be the green note. Yeah. And you would just write their name in it and they would just suddenly be really fucking stoned.
No, that would be the worst.
That would be so terrible. You could inflict some serious damage with the green note.
I mean, imagine if you're like, do that to a flight attendant and he's like too high to fly the plane.
Oh yeah, if you do a pilot.
Yeah, I have the Miami zombie note where it makes people eat other people's faces off.
Yeah, the bath salts note. Yeah.
The flocka note. Yeah.
I was gonna say, I thought that someone was gonna say the cum note.
Did you say the cum note, Jamie?
I did say the cum note. Yeah.
The cum note. Yeah, you would love the cum note, Walter.
Oh, the dom note.
Oh, a fetish giving death note.
The fet note. And you write down, you're like, you're really into feet.
Yeah. Like, I really like grippers. I just thought of a really good concept. Okay, what about like the earworm note? Where you make, make any song stuck in someone's head.
Oh no, that's so mean.
That would be terrible.
You make like the Nut Shack theme song like stuck in.
The Nut Shack theme song. What the fuck? Oh my god, that's a pull. That's fucking insane pull.
Oh, now it's stuck in my head.
I think the worst song, the song that Lamb Chop sings about how the song that never ends, I'm not going to sing it because it'll be stuck in people's head. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I don't know.
You know, it goes, this is the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friend. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was. Oh, what does the next bit go? Something, 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 something. This is the song.
And you said, I'm not going to sing it, and then you ended up doing it anyway.
Well, it's because I remember Jamie hates what I sing on the podcast, and since I can't make her shit herself in front of her classroom, I will at least sing on the podcast for her.
First of all, Thunder by Imagine Dragons.
Oh, no!
I would make that get stuck into a Biden's head.
Aaron, if I had this Death Note, I would put The Little Drummer Boy by Pentatonix in your fucking head, dude.
Fuck you! Jamie and I hate Pentatonix. We hate them.
It is the dumbest. It is the Light Yagami of a cappella music. It's just like, oh, look at us. We're so cool and edgy. And it's like, no, you're not. You're all singing at the same time.
I don't think they want to be edgy. I think they're just trying to be like really emotional.
like, it's just like dumb. You know, like the Hollywood like star walk? They just got a star in there like a week ago.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what's good a cappella? Barbershop Quartet. Four old dudes in silly ass outfits being like, sweet.
Yeah, that shit fucks.
That's awesome. It's great.
This just seems like they're trying too hard. It seems like they're like, like, it's just like annoying. Like, shut up.
Lime in the coconut would be bad to get stuck in your head.
Oh, God.
It'd be pretty bad.
Put the lime in the coconut and mix it all up.
Oh, I'm so fresh, you can suck my nuts. I'm so fresh, you could suck my nuts.
No, that's a good song.
Would you want it stuck in your head?
Are you kidding me? I would walk so much proud. Yeah, if I, like, if I, imagine if you were walking down the street and you were thinking to yourself, I am literally so fresh that everyone on this street can, in fact, put their tongues and lips on my ball sack. That would make me feel, like, so powerful.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, you're listening to Soulja Boy talk about how fresh his nuts are, and then you get jealous because of that, and you're like, well, why can't it be my nuts? That's what I interpreted as getting stuck in your head.
Cuban Pete. I would use the song note to get Cuban Pete stuck in my head forever because I fucking love that song.
Wait, how does that go? How does that go?
Have you seen The Mask?
No, thank God. I have not seen The Mask. I don't want to see it.
Okay, well, Aaron, you are no longer my favorite of the McCaffrey sisters because that movie is one of my favorite films of all time.
Jamie hasn't seen it either.
Yeah, but Jamie didn't say it was a bad movie. Jamie, you've never seen The Mask?
I don't think so.
Fine, I watched the Nostalgia Critic review of it when I was like 10, so I haven't actually seen the movie.
Yeah, Aaron has a lot of opinions on things they've never seen.
Yeah,
that's okay. It means you're perfect for having a podcast.
Don't worry, it wasn't an insult because Swain and you are exactly the same here.
I'm glad.
He also always has opinions on things he's never seen.
Yeah, but I was hoping Walter wouldn't expose my lack of knowledge of the thing. I was hoping that the kayfabe of the podcast would be like me talking about things I don't know, and he's like, "Oh yeah, Swain does know these things."
Walter, I think as an episode concept, it would be really fun to have one person that hasn't seen the thing that you're talking about that has to try to talk about it as if they've seen
it. That's literally like the first half of our episodes of this podcast is literally just like me being like, yes. And it's pretty good.
I think that the song note could do a lot more systemic justice than the death note, because I think that you could just absolutely plague someone in a position of power who is doing like systemic injustice. If you like put certain things in like Mitch McConnell's head, he will not be able to comprehend what's going on. What I would do, he definitely hasn't seen this, but I would take Alvin and the Chipmunks reduced 16 times so that it's at the original like recording sound, and I would put that in his head.
What do you mean reduce 16? So you, why would it have to be the Chipmunks?
You haven't
then?
Seen Chipmunks Sludge Fest? I've definitely sent you this.
That is such a fucking good album.
It rocks!
Jamie, let's get married.
It's so
good! We
don't
ever have to touch each other. We can just be married and live in the same house.
Yeah, people don't understand how good that is.
It's such a fucking good album.
But I just don't think that, like, Mitch McConnell or, like, some one of these fucking old motherfuckers could even comprehend the grime. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I would go with Barney.
I would just put the Minions Spotify profile in their head where all the Minions sing the Mozart piece.
That sounds awesome.
It's awful. I played it for my sister and she didn't like it.
Aren't there songs that you could put in Mitch McConnell's head that would make him like better? What if you put, I don't know, fucking Kiss Me, I'm a Feminist into his head and then make him like become a feminist?
Everyone's favorite song. What about YMCA? It would make him learn to love homosexuals.
Oh, that would be pretty good.
You can put YMCA in a minor key to make it more intimidating in his head.
Oh, you're right.
I thought you were going to say put YMCA in a minor's head, and I was like, oh no.
Well, I don't know if that, I'm not legally obligated to say anything about that, but.
That you were a minor when you saw your parents have sex?
Why is this the recurring theme?
Because you brought it up, dude. You brought this on yourself.
I hate all of you equally, Jamie.
Yep, you brought this on yourself.
Everyone for listening. Jamie, do you have a Twitter you want to shout out?
I don't have anything.
What about you, Aaron?
I have a Twitter account.
Do you have
to shout out?
Yeah.
Like the Fake Film Fans Twitter TM?
A Twitter account that you want.
I don't know. Ellen DeGeneres.
I was going to say at Elon Musk.
I was mostly talking about you guys' own podcast. I mean, your own Twitters. I was mostly talking about your own Twitters. If you'd be like, you should follow me on Twitter.
Actually, yeah, I have a Twitter. Hold on. I don't remember what it's called, though. I can get famous on it now. Okay, my Twitter's called Unregistered Hypercam 2.
Okay, if you want to follow Erin as she goes through her life as a college student, doing whatever it is college students do, we played Rolling Backpack Watch. That was actually mostly me and Jamie.
That's such
we
a can't good
talk
game,
about
dude.
Rolling Backpack Watch on the podcast because we will get canceled. Just to be fair, Jamie brought it to a mean place. Rolling Backpack Watch was not a mean game until Jamie
good
joined.
Times.
And then it became mean because Jamie was
oh
mean.
My god, that makes a lot of sense, honestly.
That was like right after I became friends with you guys too. I ruined Rolling Backpack.
If Jamie and Erin don't want to seriously shout them out, I will shout them out. These two people are fucking amazing. They're huge fans for us. They help us out a lot. They give me a lot of motivation to edit. They give us a lot of feedback. They allow me to argue with Swade and rant about how we're not getting enough listens. They're fucking genuinely great friends and guests and fans of the podcast. So
yes, definitely.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the work that you guys put in all the time. I have a great time listening to this podcast.
This is a great podcast. I listen to it at work when I'm not doing anything, which is my entire time at work.
I don't know this person, but at Lindmond Amber started following our Twitter. Don't know what that's about. So I guess she's cool. But she's not as cool as our many fans, including Jamie and Erin, who are on the podcast today. And now you both have 30 seconds before you're going to shit yourself. I've been brown-noting you this whole time.
Oh, no. No, wait. No, take it back. Rip out the page.
Yeah, you got to
oh
clench
my
your
God.
Asshole.
What?
Can we all clench our assholes together?
Yeah, in solidarity.
All right, while we're clenching our assholes, we will apologize to Mama McCaffrey for bringing up her sexual escapades. We're sorry, Mama McCaffrey.
Without which, we would not be.
Are
here.
You guys all clenching your assholes right now? Because I'm clenching mine.
I'm clenching my asshole right now.
Good. I'm glad.
You know what? Thank you, Mama McCaffrey and Papa McCaffrey, for making love so that you could give birth to these two wonderful.
What a
people.
Weird ass compliment, but I love it. Thank you. I appreciate
this podcast
that.
Now.
Yeah, Swade got so mad at me for talking about his parents having sex on the podcast, so I cut it out. I realized he's a hypocrite.
Hey, Swade's a huge hypocrite.
No, I think that was because you were like talking about my parents having sex with like dogs or my dog or something. It was something foul. Can you beep out what I just said? Can you bleep that out? It was something like morally reprehensible. It was not just my parents having sex, which is fine.
But I am also uncomfortable when Swade talks about my mom, so I am actually on your side, the McCaffrey people.
Yeah, so this is a mutual thing.
If you want to talk about my mom and dad having sex, it's fine. I don't think they do it much anymore because of my dad's cancer.
Oh, right?
Wow, easy out, huh? Easy out, huh? Nah, fuck that. Your mom and dad probably had so much sex right after his surgery. Inside the hospital. On the hospital surgery bed.
That's so... He was unconscious. He was unconscious, yeah, you
with
bastard.
The doctors in the room.
So fucked.
I do actually have one shout out to make for my best friend who actually showed me the movie in the first place. I actually have a recording of us watching the movie. Yeah, thank you, friend whose name starts with letter M, for introducing me to this amazing train wreck masterpiece of a movie. Thank you.
Thank you, Mia, from the movie. She came through the movie and she showed it to you.
Her name actually sounds kind of like Mia. It's actually a few letters off, so it was Mia from Death Note.
Erin, before you take us out, I want to just quickly say I've been handing out a lot of bookmarks at the bookstore, so if you're listening to this episode and you are got a bookmark from me while you were in Roanoke, shoot us a message on Twitter or shoot us an email at fakefilmfans@gmail.com just to prove to Walter that this was a good marketing idea of mine. Erin, do you know how to take us out?
I want everyone who's listening to this to have very sweet...
No, that's not how you do it.
What do you mean, take us out?
You have to say the bit at the end of the podcast that I say. Why do guests not understand?
Hey, I don't know what the bit is.
You have to say the bit.
It's if you're going to watch a movie, do it with the lights off. Every time I end the episode like
you
that.
You know what it is? It's because everyone always listens to our openers and then they don't listen to the film part of it.
Well, no. I always, when I think it's wrapping up, then I leave. So I never... get to the end.
Oh, you're a bad listener.
Yeah, I'm a
bro.
Bad listener. Sorry.
That breaks my heart.
No, it's fine. Swade has all these rules that I want him to stop.
Oh, using. My
God. I don't
God.
Care about
Walter,
these rules,
if
man.
You don't
why do I have to introduce myself
oh my
at the
God.
Beginning of the podcast?
All right, quick. Erin, stop the fucking podcast before the politics get in.
Okay, fine. Okay. If you're going to watch a movie, then do it with the lights on.
Fantastic.
Lights on. She said lights on.
Did
again.
She say it?